The Abbott government is hitting the airwaves in a bid to generate public support for its higher education changes, which will go back before the Senate next year. Here's one of the taxpayer-funded ads being broadcast on TV and radio.
Higher learning leads to higher earnings. Uni graduates can earn 75% more than school leavers and have more career opportunities. That's why the Australian government will continue to pay around half your undergraduate degree, and HEX covers the rest. So you pay zero course fees up front. Plus, there are plans to extend government support to even more students. To see how changes to higher education could benefit you, click here.
That's the TV ad being rolled out by the federal government on its university reforms, which were rejected by the Senate last week, you'll remember. The coalition said it is much needed information. Labor and others say it's pure political propaganda. Paul Bongiorno is in our Parliament House studios. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Well, the Minister, Christopher Pyne, says these ads are necessary to counter, quote, the myths and misconceptions about the proposed higher ed changes. From what we just heard there and what you've seen, are these ads a worthwhile public information campaign or are they political propaganda? Would you care to chance your arm?
Yes, they're political propaganda without a doubt. The first thing to say is there is no guarantee that these changes will in fact pass the Senate. In fact, I'd put my money on them not passing the Senate. The next thing is the guidelines are open.
And that's important, Paul, because the tagline is to see how the changes to higher ed could benefit you. Click here. But they're not even in.
Yeah, the changes don't exist as of now, so we're advertising something that doesn't exist now, and the likelihood of it existing in the near future is fairly remote. And now, the next thing to say is it does seem that the minister maybe is living on another planet here. There is a view that these ads are going to air now because the minister thought he would get his legislation through the Senate, and he still thinks he will. But look, apart from the fact that the guidelines are open slather for a government, it's merely legislation in intends to get through. They also say that the information must be presented as fact, it must be accurate and verifiable, and Labor says that the ads fall down here because only two universities have shown what their fee structure will be. That's the University of Western Australia and the University of Technology in Queensland, and in both cases students are paying up to 90%, 57%, 55%, the lowest 88% up there in Queensland of their fees. And of course what the ads don't tell you is the government is withdrawing 20% of its funding and allowing the universities to charge the rest.
Well, so, there's so a few the qualifiers. Claim, go on.
So the base claim there looks to be false.
Yeah, but there's a qualifier, around half, you see, and the university graduates can earn 75%. So look, Labor has written to the finance department. I think some of the crossbenchers are also referring this on, saying it's a breach of guidelines around accuracy. Yeah. We did request an interview with the Minister, Christopher Pyne. He's not available, but his office is pointing out the $500 million Labor spent in government, including on the mining and carbon taxes, before they were legislated. So they're saying Labor can't really throw stones here, I guess.
Well, look. First of all, Labor is in power for 6 years, not 14 months. The next thing to say is I often wonder why politicians defend themselves by saying they're no worse than their opponents, the ones that they urge
and they all do
to
it.
Vote out. And by the way, the people have passed judgment on that. They're out. So we thought we were getting something better this time.
Yeah, okay. Paul, on the climate change talks, the UN climate change talks in Lima in Peru, Peter Harcher's reporting in the Fairfax Press today, more on that story that the Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, wouldn't take no for an answer when the Prime Minister's office knocked back her request to represent Australia at these negotiations. Mm. What Harcher's told us is that she then took the matter to a full meeting of Cabinet, which approved her travel. Is that coming close to open defiance, or is that how Cabinet government works?
I guess it's how Cabinet government works. But what it does show that Julie Bishop is one very angry, very senior minister. The Prime Minister's office was denying that there was any sort of confrontation between Julie Bishop and the Prime Minister. Julie Bishop gave an on-the-record interview yesterday to the Australian Financial Review confirming everything that the Prime Minister's press office had been denying in terms of originally only wanting to send officials, originally not wanting to send any minister, and then denying that that Julie Bishop had been refused leave to go. So what we do have here is quite a deal of unhappiness at the top of the government. The other minister that's involved in all of this is the Treasurer. It was written on the weekend by Laurie Oakes that the sacking of Martin Parkinson was done by the Prime Minister's office without consultation with Joe Hockey, the Treasurer. So there's a fair bit of arm wrestling going on at the top of the government. The Prime Minister yesterday refused to comment. He says it's gossip and he's not going to gossip on gossip. It's clearly more than gossip.
And ministers privately are background against the PMO at the very least. But talking about the Lima Climate Change Conference, it's also been reported that the Julie Bishop argued a case around the cabinet table, less on the need for Australia to be there doing something about climate change, but more on strategic grounds, political grounds, that if we didn't send a high-level person, we would again be a target for global criticism and inaction on climate.
Yes, well, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that after getting burnt badly at the G20 with trying to sideline the issue of climate change, try to keep it off the agenda, out of sight, out of mind, it blew up exponentially with the Obama speech. But there have been two opinion polls in recent days, one JWS Research, which shows that climate change is now one of the top five issues worrying voters, and also Ipsos research yesterday in the Fairfax papers showed that 57% of Australians believe that our government is doing too little on climate change. The problem for the government is just at the end of the 10-year drought, climate change became a strong political issue. We are now seeing extreme weather, and the scientists tell us that this extreme weather is a consequence of global warming and climate change. So the government does need to reposition here. We do know that at best its key ministers are sceptical, if not outright deniers, and they're basically out of sync with the majority of Australians.
All right, Paul, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure.
Paul Bongiorno is contributing editor with the 10 Network.